We are on lesson number 11 of Going On to Perfection. And what we saw in last week's lesson, we laid the foundation, fundamental foundation, in the first four or five lessons on repentance, on water immersion, on spirit immersion. And what we're looking at now is, in going on to perfection, our purpose. And what we saw last week in lesson 10 is we saw that our purpose as a believer in Yeshua, Jesus, is the fact that we are to reign and rule with Him. That's what the Scriptures teach. And of course, we're going to reign and rule according to the Word of God. And then we said, should we pick any one Scripture in the entire Bible that best describes what the kingdom of God is in the earth and the kingdom to come? That is, we see Romans 14, 17, and that is where it says, for the kingdom of God is not meat, it's not drink, but it's righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. And we're going to see how, as we are born again of the Spirit or the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, that righteousness, peace, and joy, these three things work in harmony. And these are the three things that God's kingdom is based on, and the three things that His rulers and reigners, His kings and priests, believers, will operate in, and not only now, but in the world to come. And so we looked at last week righteousness, and basically a summation of it is the fact that righteousness just means right doing. And of course, where we are today in the world is because we have done away with the plumb line of the Word and the instruction of God. Right doing is based on a majority of the morality teaching or thinking on whomever seems to be in power. However, right doing is actually the truth of the Word of God. And so we see where walking in righteousness is just walking halakha, or walking according to the Word of God. And so today we want to move on to peace, which is one of the laws of the kingdom. And I think you're going to find it interesting, because when we talk about peace, it's something that has seemed to escape everyone. People are overachievers because they don't have peace. People are on pills because they don't have peace. People are going crazy because they can't find peace. Where is peace? Well, we'll get to that. Number one, Jesus tells us, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. So as I'm teaching now, I am teaching to the people that have been born again. I'm teaching to the people that are striving to be and to become leaders, to become the priests, the judges. Won't it be great when the world has righteous judges? And that's your job. You're not going to play harps in heaven on a cloud. You're coming back to reign and rule. And we laid that foundation last week according to the Scripture. And so the way we will reign and rule is according to His Word, which is His righteousness. But He tells us, blessed are the peacemakers. Now, peacemaking is a dual sword. We're going to see where patience is heavily involved in peace. In the world to come, it will still be an attribute of peace, will be our patience, His patience, but also ruling with an iron fist. In other words, that's what will bring peace. The Bible tells us whenever we got out of the ark, and there we saw that Noah and his sons got out, the first thing that God did was He instituted capital punishment. So if you're a Christian and you disagree with capital punishment, well, that you're welcome to your opinion, but you're disagreeing with God. You're disagreeing with the Word of God. The Word of God declares that when good men do nothing, wickedness waxes worse and worse. And so therefore, He set up capital punishment. You see today, because there is no quick justice in the land, why we have the problems we have in our courts and in our safeties. So without getting into that any deeper, the word peace is used 420 times. In the Hebrew, it's shalom, and it means soundness. So I want you to catch this. When I say the word, when we read the word peace out of the Word of God, then we are actually saying, blessed are those that have contentment, tranquility, soundness, completeness, and contentment. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about the attributes of the kingdom of God. We walk in righteousness. We walk in contentment, tranquility, soundness. And what you should be ascertaining, I'm going to make some statements here that maybe will stretch you, but what we should be learning is the fact that when we show up, and this is not to glorify us in any way, we walk in humbleness and meekness, but when we show up on the scene, the answer's there. And if we don't have the word of wisdom or the word of knowledge, then our patience and our peace immediately comes into that situation. And I know you've probably experienced that many times, and especially in a role of ministry when you have to go to the homes of dying people, deceased people, people you've never met, that in our own ability we don't have any way to deal with that. But there is a peace that Christ gives to us and has left with us that can be transposed into our environment, so to speak, in our immediate environment. So this word peace is used 420 times. In the first place in the New Testament that this word is used is when Jesus tells the disciples, he says, when you come into someone's house, if the house be worthy, then let your peace come upon it. But if it's not worthy, let your peace return unto you. And so one of the amazing things in 30 years that I have experienced in serving the Lord is the fact that if you really walk in the Lord and you really walk with Him and you prepare yourself before you go into places in any situation, you will be a Prince of Peace. You will bring peace into an unruly family. You will bring peace into a marital strife where they're beating the way out of each other. And it's just an attribute of the kingdom. And you need to understand, this is not something learned. Because what we need to understand is religion teaches us how to act just like you train a dog. You can make anyone religious. But when you're truly born again of the Spirit, you now have access to the mind of Christ. Because your mind is the enemy of God. You would not respond emotionally to the things and the environment that you may be in as God would have you. Therefore, we have not our mind, but we put on what? The mind of Christ. And so we're going to see where shalom actually takes place in our mind. And this is why it's so important. And this is why whenever he was crucified at Golgotha, the place of the skull, is because this is where we have our problems. This is the seat of our will and our emotions. And therefore, whenever we have the mind of Christ, whenever we receive His peace, the things that would affect us were not affected. So God's ambassadors on the earth were walking containers of His peace and patience. And boy, that's two attributes that go hand in hand. Without patience, you won't have peace. Without peace, you won't have patience. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. You're going to notice that out of these 420 times that this word shalom or peace is used, you're going to notice that in the epistles written to the churches that were established in the book of Acts, you're going to find out where it's used many, many, many times, because it is an attribute of someone that is a kingdom person, someone that is a representative of Yeshua. When we look at the Mashiach that came, the Messiah that was to come, in Isaiah 9 and 6, we'll get to that. But if you know, are a word lover, you already know exactly what it says and you know how it ends. Because if I am to be formed into His image, then, and His likeness, and we are the body of Christ, then we have put on His characteristics, His nature, and what He has given. So let the peace of God do what? What's the rule in your hearts? Main kingdom principle. Peace of God. Now, I want you to notice it's never going to be called your peace. And if you're someone that's a carnal Christian, and there are none of us in this room, but people that may be listening, if you're someone that is a carnal Christian, then I want to tell you, you need to be born again. You don't need to be the Pavlov's dog that learns how to salivate at the bell, which is religion where we teach you goodness. Because this supernatural infilling of the Holy Ghost is an immediate download of the mind of Christ. And this is why we teach it so vehemently, is because if you've not received that, God has so much more for you. So much more for you. You don't receive it unless you seek it. And so this peace of God, once again, it is just a portion of the attribute of the fruit of the Spirit. And you'll notice the word fruit of the Spirit is not plural, because you don't get one of the fruit of the Spirit. If you really walk in the fruit of the Spirit, then every one of those giftings is in that Spirit of Christ. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, I think this is interesting. He says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Religion really gets us into holiness. But God starts us in peace. Because without peace, there is no shalom. There's no holiness without peace. Kadesh, holiness. And so what we see is we see that we are going to recognize that as we set forth these kingdom principles next to righteousness, because the truth is you can't have peace without righteousness. So that's why I gravitate towards this one scripture that I believe, if I had to choose one scripture, describes everything we are now and will be in the world to come, and that is righteousness, peace, and joy. And I believe that is the order in which they arrive, because I think without you following that order, you can have none of them that are in the Lord. You can know personal joy, human joy. You can know fleeting human momentary peace. But we're talking about the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. The peace of God that allowed men to be crucified, said, not like my Lord, but upside down, because they had the mind of Christ. This is not a religious experience where they were trained. Your religious training at one point would go out the door. But whenever you are truly walking in the Lord and He is empowering you, it's a whole different situation. So in Mark 9 and 50, the Lord tells us, He says, salt is good. But if salt has lost its saltiness, wherewith you will season it, have salt in yourself and have peace one with another. Now, and I get back into teaching on the dietary laws and the food laws. One of the things, and salt triggered my mind, I'm sorry to run down this rabbit trail, but it may help someone in this room. Most Americans, as a matter of fact, 100% of the Americans that one of my favorite doctors has tested are bromine overloaded, which shuts down the thyroid. And the reason salt is mentioned here is because in the days of the Romans and in the early days, everyone knew salt was totally necessary for healthy survival. But what you may not know is the salt you're eating is not the salt they're talking about. And therefore, we have terrible, terrible thyroid, underactive thyroids, thyroid problems in this country. And without getting back into that, bromine, which is in all your baking goods and all that, shuts the thyroid off from being able to absorb the correct nutrients out of real salt. So if you want to be healthy to get your thyroid back on, you need to do away with that table salt, which has been bleached, which has had sugar added to it, which if I tell you everything in it, it's not even close to what we're talking about, this real salt. You want to get real sea salt or real rock salt out of mined out of the earth that has not been touched. And this is what God made to keep you healthy. Salt is good for you. Your system will not function correctly. Oh, you'll function. It's like you can function as a Christian, but not correctly, until you eat this proper nutrient that God has placed in the earth. All right, let me get off that. So he says, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, where you will season it, have salt in yourself and have peace one with another. Now, when we look at salt, actually what he's talking about here is he's saying, have contentment, have completeness, have wholeness, have flavor. In other words, we do not have the personality, these are my words, my interpretation, do not have the personality of a dial tone. You know, God's given us a life. He's given us abundant life. And we're not talking about, you can tell people that overemphasize and that their religion's fake. We're just talking about your personalities does not speak of your religious training. It speaks of you being real. And the real you is, hey, life's good. And it has nothing to do with the amount of money you make. It may not even have anything to do with the amount of money you owe on your credit cards. Everybody said, praise the Lord. But it's just because you have a hope. And that hope is what brings about patience. And we'll get on into the lesson. Isaiah 9 and 6 tells us, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful. This, of course, is a prophecy of the Messiah that would come, who he would be. Many people, if they just read this, it would be a great revelation to them. He's called Wonderful. He's called Counselor. The one that came is called the Mighty God. I can call Yeshua God. I can be like Thomas. I'm a Jew. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. When Jesus appeared in the room, Thomas turned around and bowed down and said, my Lord and my God. He's the Mighty God. He's the Everlasting Father. A lot of people talk about the Father, but they don't understand. Yes, the Heavenly Father's invisible spirit fills all of earth. But when you see Him, you're looking at the eyes of the visible image of Him, which is the Mashiach, the tabernacle of God. But the final, got that in there, didn't I? The final title that was promised to us is He would be the ruler of peace. And once again, without peace, without shalom in your life, then you're not walking in kingdom principle. And if you're having to train yourself to have this peace, then either you've been born again, but you have quit feeding your mind the right things, But you need to get back to this principle, and you're going to find out without peace and without patience, maybe due to lack of righteousness. Luke 1 and 79. So one of the purposes of him coming, he would be the ruler of peace, he says, was to give light to they that sit in darkness. This is the angel announcing the birth of Christ. And in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. And so we need to understand why the Antichrist will be brought to power as he's called the man of peace. Folks, that's what the world, Kim Jong-il today, over there saber rattling. I've decided your husband really works for the CIA. That's why he's in South Korea.
He's not there anymore.
He's not there. He's on his way back. Okay. So what we see is there is no peace. The world has more wars going on right now, more people being killed in the name of future peace. So we see that when the kingdom comes on earth, this is what he's going to establish in the earth's peace. In the meantime, we're the ambassadors of peace. All right. Can a Christian have peace without righteousness? A religious Christian can. Because I'm going to tell you again, religious is training. You train yourself how not to cuss. And by the way, cussing is not what you think it is. Every now and then I'll come off with some bad language. It's bad language. It's not cussing. Cussing's when I take the name of the Lord in vain. You know, so I'm giving you freedom to use bad language? Not at all. But I'm just letting you understand, you know, if you use the name of the Lord in vain or use it to make an oath, that's bad business. If you say, oh, that dadgum dog, you know, don't do it. But I'm just saying it's not because you're going against it. You know, it's funny, the more you learn about the Lord, the more liberty there is and the more responsibility. Let's go on. So this is, can a Christian have peace without right doing? No, I'll tell you right now, you cannot. Because this is the first principle that brings about peace and joy. And so if you're lacking in peace and you're lacking in joy, then I can assure you, you're lacking in right doing. And it's really easy to get that back in your life. And that is to seek ye first righteousness, peace, and joy. The kingdom of God. And so if we'll seek these things first, all these things he said would be added to us, but the peace and the joy are at the top of the list. So when we lose our peace and our joy, and I want you to notice in John 14:27, this is key. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. It's not your peace. That's the point I want to make here. And so when I've been kind of kicking at religion, it's a great place to start, but you need to get on into relationship. Because this peace I'm talking about is not taught in a church. It comes through a download of the Spirit of God. And it's a thing that we maintain through our prayer life. It's a thing that we maintain through our relationship with Him. It's just like whenever He says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you, K-N-E-W. The first place that word new is used is when Adam knew Eve and a child was born. Christ is saying, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You've got a great religion going on, but we've never been intimate. And so it's the intimacy with Christ. It's that relationship. It's His peace. And so what I'm about to say, I've experienced, and obviously there's times when I've panicked and I've got some phobias that, you know, that drive me nuts. But the peace that God gives is not conditional. In other words, it is conditional on remaining in that peace, but the product, the byproduct of remaining in that peace, any circumstance that comes your way, you're going to quit panicking. Any circumstance, because you are walking in His peace, His salvation, His righteousness. And so this is why many times if we are closer to the Lord than maybe we were at another time, and something occurs in our life and we don't understand why our emotions aren't behaving a certain way, it's because you're in the peace of God. And you are the walking tranquility, contentment, fulfillment. You are, you know, because you have a hope. You have the mind of Christ. All right. He says, there is no peace, saith God, to the wicked. So can a Christian have peace without righteousness? No. Maybe temporarily. You know, Xanax is a great thing for a moment. Jim Beam works for a season. But eventually they wear out. And this peace of God It never leaves us. You can have it 24/7. And when you don't, you need to realize, okay, I've stepped out of faith and I'm operating in my human emotion. I need this peace that goes beyond understanding. We need to understand that when Christ came, He didn't remove the thorns from the rose bushes. In other words, serving God, and this is my opinion, if you really are going to be greatly used in the world to come or even in the kingdom now, you're going to go through some severe, severe trials. You're going to go through financial problems. You're going to go through physical problems. You're going to go through relational problems. You're going to go through faith crises. You're going to go through a lot of things. If you understand the end from the beginning, which is thinking like God, then you understand this is all something I'm going through because God is trying to purify a Zadokim, a group of righteous men and women that are going to reign and rule. And just like God had to robe Himself in flesh to be tempted in all things, because in God the Father, a spirit, you can't tempt a spirit. How do you tempt a spirit with lust? How do you tempt a spirit with hunger? How do you tempt a spirit with thirst? Spirit knows none of those things, but when He's plugged into the car He built, then He experienced it. Now when my high priest, Yeshua, the man Christ Jesus, stands forever at the right hand of God and says, remember in the days of your flesh. Oh yeah, I remember what temptation feels like. Oh yeah, I remember what pain feels like. Oh, I remember. Now, I said that because someday you're going to stand at the right hand of God. You're not going to be God's, but you are going to be making intercession, so to speak, reconciling. The job of priesthood is to reconcile men to God. And in now and in the world to come, then if you had not been through certain things, people that have lived in a golden environment with a silver spoon in their mouth probably aren't the ones you need to talk to about you filing bankruptcy because this, that, and the other. It may not have been due to poor management. You lost your job, illness in the family. You became... What I'm trying to say is you really wouldn't have any idea how to have compassion and how to rightly judge a situation until you've walked in the moccasins of that man. So you're in training. That's what I'm trying to say. But yet, the good news is He did not remove the thorns because we need to understand the pain they will inflict, but we also need to understand the peace in the pain. And this is what God wants to do. And there's nothing more real to me than when I visit a dying Christian, strong Christian, and they're even in pain, but they still have peace. It doesn't mean they're not crying out for morphine. You know, give me all I can get if I'm in pain. But they still have that peace knowing where they're going. They still have that peace knowing they're going to be all right. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. I hope this is making sense. Let this mind be in you which also was in Christ. So my point with He had not removed the thorns in operating in this kingdom principle. This is the biggest kingdom principle after righteousness. If you want to know the depth of someone's Christianity, you will really see how much patience and peace they have. And everybody said, oh me. You know? That doesn't mean with my spouse, does it? It doesn't mean with my two-year-old, does it? You know, we excuse ourselves from a lot of areas. But it's His peace. And I have found, and you probably have as well, I've found that I can at times decide I don't want His peace because I want to operate in my carnality. And He's gentleman enough, the Holy Spirit is gentle enough, that He will withdraw and I'll operate myself. And then He's kind enough that He comes back when I say, oh Lord, I need You. Thank God it's not a one-time chance. So don't let this teaching condemn you. This teaching is to help us understand principles that we can motivate ourselves towards with a greater knowledge to realizing that we can move closer to perfection, which just means spiritual maturity. It never means we are without spot or blemish because we've made no blemish in the earth or in humanity, but it just means we're a mature Christian, understand, and when we do something wrong, we correct it. All right, so let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. I'm trying to point out that since He did not remove the thorns, they're here for the training, in my opinion, that when we have put on the mind of Christ, this is His peace. And since I have the mind of Christ, then this problem, I'm on the eagle's wings. And one of the things we like about problems is when the problem that will usually defeat you is the problem that the enemy of your soul gets before your eyes and you see no way around to or through it. And you believe this is it. I can't handle this. But the mind of Christ elevates us to where we see around, through, above, and beyond.
Amen.
We may be going through H.E. hell, but keep going. Because the mind of Christ tells us that He will never leave us, He will never forsake us, that we have a place, He's overcome death, hell, and the grave. And we truly believe that, and therefore under any obstacle, we still operate in the mind of Christ, which is shalom.
Amen.
That makes sense?
Amen.
I know I'm saying some things pretty quickly. Isaiah 26 and 3, you've already read ahead, I'm sure. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. So this isn't Pastor Joe or Rabbi Joe just getting up spouting some stuff to fill the air and time. This is the Word of God. If you believe the Word of God, and you do, that's why you got up this morning, you're going to sit in church a long time today before we get out at 12 o'clock. But then God says, I'm going to keep him in perfect peace whose mind, and this is where our shalom, this is where our peace comes from, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts thee. And you'll notice that usually when we operate in the busy Martha syndrome or the crazy Joe syndrome or whatever, it's because we have not taken peace. We have not taken, King James translation, the Psalms will be read and then you'll see a little word called Selah, which means stop and think. Usually, as a believer, which we are, then whenever we're operating in worry and frustration, it's real simple. We just haven't taken time to stop and think. Mm-hmm. Now, the world says stop and smell the roses, but I just say stop and kneel at the cross and recognize where we are, who we are, and whose we are. Mm-hmm. Right. So then Romans 8 and 6, because if we operate in our mind, it's death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life. In peace. I've had a few days, and I bet no one else has, where you just want to be in the fetal position, keep the covers over your head, turn the air up, draw the curtains, and throw the phone out the window and get a bad case of the, I can't say that word in church, but it ends with it, and just say, that's the heck with it today. I got a case of the gits. And for those of you listening by podcast, you'll be like, oh my God, that man is the filthy mouth. I'm doing my best to get you out of your religious spirit because you'll have a whole lot more fun when you get real. And so what we see is this, is we see that does not mean you're not going to have a day like that. Paul had days like that. Peter had days like that. The Pope's going to have days like that. What this means is that we fight the good fight of faith to keep shalom. And anytime we're not in shalom, then we are not fighting because we're not operating in the kingdom principle. If we're in frustration, fear, worry, and everything's out of order, how can we be the answer? How can we come to the house and let His peace rest upon it? Because we're not packing it. So it's time to take that stop and get that peace. All right. We have peace because we have hope. Romans 5, verses 2 through 5. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, that's a mouthful. We read the scripture so quickly. I'm rejoicing in the hope of God's glory. I'm not rejoicing in anything I'm going to accomplish. We saw last week, where blessed are the poor in spirit. And we found out it's doesn't mean they're running around with their head hanging down. They recognize without God's glory, I'm spiritually bankrupt. Blessed are the poor in spirit means regardless of how much I hype myself up, I have nothing permanent. I'm poor in spirit. But so I am rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation. Knowing that tribulation, I think I already preached what goes with these scriptures. Knowing that tribulation is just the thorns. God left them here, as you see the roses. Because it works patience. Now, what's patience work? Peace. Peace and patience go hand. If you don't have patience, you will not have peace. And it's His patience. And it's His peace. And patience, experience, and experience, hope. Now, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which has been given to us. So, as God has downloaded His Spirit into these vessels, each day we decide which we're going to operate in. Are we going to operate today in the kingdom principles? Take time to stop at the cross, to seek ye first the kingdom of God, and operate in that today, or are we going to operate in our flesh? Well, the call is ours, because God is such a masterful gentleman, He does not force us to do His will. It is a choice. But if we have chosen to operate, then we need to recognize the principle of the operation that He's called us to do and how we are to represent His kingdom in the earth. So once again, we see where these things are just training, because these tribulations work patience. And then hope. The reason that I think that whenever He gives us the mind of Christ, that this peace comes with it is, let's just tell it like it is. If death can't kill me, the grave can't hold me. What are you going to do to me? I know that's pretty simplistic, because it's pretty simplistic. And that's what I find our God is. He's pretty simplistic. You can usually know when someone's talking from the Lord, it's not a 25-minute dissertation on a thought. It's just like one sentence and you go, it's profound. And so what happens is, when we have the mind of Christ, we recognize we've already won. He had the victory and a crown for me. All I've got to do is remain in what He left here for me. All right. So Revelations 14 and 12 tells us, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. So a portion of our patience comes, once again, the commandment. That's righteousness, the doing of righteousness. So can you have peace without righteousness as a Christian? No. Can the world? Absolutely. Let me just tell you something. I don't enjoy sin anymore. Let me explain. It's not because it lost its pleasure. It's because I have the mind of Christ, and now, therefore, I understand its consequence. It has become exceedingly sinful. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Amen.
It's just like I can't put some things in my body any longer, because I've studied them and found out these things harm the temple of God. But see, to whom much is given, much is required. And so what happens is that now that we have a greater understanding, sin doesn't satisfy at all to a Christian. It just makes you feel filthy and makes you feel dirty. Because for whatever that moment's pleasure or that unrighteous gain you've received, as soon as it's done, you're like, oh man, that didn't fulfill. Now the world, it fulfilled for a season, but we had to keep doing it. And fulfillment became like an illusion or a mirage that continually moved. So when I say the world can have peace without righteousness, temporary peace, because it's a self-human made peace. Or they can go get Tony Robbins tapes or some great guru of positive thinking and train themselves. But that peace will dissipate when the world begins to shake, because it's not from above. It's a sensual peace. All right. So here's the patience of the saints, they that keep the commandments of God. And patience and peace go together. James 1, 3 and 4. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So once again, we need to understand. You say, well, if God loved me. This is my opinion. And, 30 years ago, my opinions were a lot different when I first started serving the Lord than they are now. And hopefully your opinions, if you've been serving Him for any time, have changed too as you've grown in knowledge. But what we see is this. We really have made a mistake trying to convince people God will work everything out. No, He won't. He'll use you to work it out. He'll change you to go through the pool so you can learn what you're supposed to learn. Now, there are times He does a miraculous intervention because you have, in faith, passed the test. Usually, whenever you say, either way, I'll serve you, and you really mean it in your heart, you usually bypass a lot of grief. But if you have gone out and you're $800 million in debt on charge cards and bank loans and all this, God is probably not going to supernaturally take care of that. Now, you're not going to like this. When He called Abram, before he was Abraham, He gave him a promise as a son. But He didn't fulfill that promise for 25 years. And God's timing's not our timing, because there's some things we have to learn to be trained for the kingdom. And God's not going to allow any of us to bypass training. And I said that to say this, that a lot of people today are not serving the Lord because they've been taught improper Bible principles, and therefore they don't have faith in the Bible at all because they weren't taught the truth of the Word of God. Therefore, they don't think it's real. But if you will let people understand, the greater your faith is, probably the greater trials you'll face. That's been my experience. Oh God, give me just a little faith. So, praying in faith has two results. First result, peace. And then patience. Why? Because I'm waiting on the answer. Sometimes it's no. And that's fine. Just as long as the Lord's heard. All right. So Philippians 4, 6, and 7 tells us, be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer. So we're talking about how to maintain this peace. It's His peace. That's what we have to understand. It's when we're speaking to our friend that sticks closer to a brother, we're speaking to our Savior, we need to recognize this is His gift. And so it's His peace that we need back in our life. And the peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So what happens? Be careful for nothing, and everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Passes all understanding. And I love it. I mean, it's and if you're not operating in peace right now, there's no condemnation. Because I don't know if you remember, Elijah rode in there and he slew all the prophets of Baal. And then he heard one woman was mad at him and he took off running for his life. I don't know what that has to say about anything. I won't elaborate on that. But the point I'm wanting to make is, even the greatest men that have been used of God, what you needed to recognize in that story is a lot of us, I got to quit, but a lot of us have a misconception that the prophets and the apostles and all these people, oh man, they're shadow healed people and they were just walking miracles. Not so at all. These were screwed up human beings that were fighting to hold on to the faith. That left their coat and had to write a letter, please bring my coat. Because they weren't even, yeah, because he wasn't even prosperous enough to have another one. And in America, we're taught they were all wealthy and Jesus had a large treasure. God help us. The Bible tells us about those that preach gain is godliness. Okay? But what I'm saying is, you're going to find out that even these great men that were mightily used of God only did 7 miracles in their lifetime. And then they hid out in the desert. Listen, if you're going to be used of God, well, I won't say that. So here's the point. So those of us that think every day we're going to command God, we watch Christian TV, boy, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Well, you're going to be greater than any of the apostles, Moses, anyone else ever. Because what you should be praying is that you can walk in righteousness. What you should be doing is taking that energy and becoming an ambassador for Christ. Forget what the Christian world's doing. Get in the Word of God.
Amen.
And find out what's going to happen in the kingdom. Amen. And move back into the truths of the Word of God. And so, and as you learn the Word, you're going to find out not everybody that quacks wants to come along for the swim. I mean, I'm just going to tell you that right now. And the neat thing is, you'll harbor no ill in your heart because, you know, man, you know, you're not judging anyone. But as for me and my house, I've got to go on and do what I've been shown. My desire is to seek holiness. My desire is to seek righteousness. My desire is to seek truth. Religion is bored. I'm done with that. All right, let's go on. 2 Peter 3:14. I got to quit. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that we may be found of Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Wow, look at this. When Peter says, when the Lord comes, the first thing that He needs to find in us is no sin, without spot, and blameless. No, He doesn't even put those first, does He? God can handle forgiveness. But if you're walking around representing the kingdom and you don't have tranquility and you don't have soundness and you don't have completeness and you don't have confidence, then you're selling what He's brought to the earth short. Because, folks, that's what the world can't find. They can't find this thing that God has given us. So He even lists this shalom before He lists your spot and blameless. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion of one another. 1 Peter 3, verses 8 through 11. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. But contrarywise, blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. That's one of the things that keeps us in peace. For he that will love life and seeing good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good, and let him seek peace and ensue it.
Amen.
I'm closing with this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. Now the Lord of Shalom himself, the Lord of peace himself, the ruler of peace himself, give you peace always, by all means. May the Lord be with you. I hope this lesson will help your life. Next lesson, lesson 12, we'll get into continuing in this thing. God bless.